If you're tired of living under the burden of debt, stay tuned. Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom starts now. And here's your host, CEO and Chief Counsel of the Alliance Legal Group and Director of Christian Rights Ministries, Steve Taylor.
Good afternoon, Hampton Roads. This is Steve Taylor, and I am from the Alliance Legal Group, and just wanted to welcome our listening audience today, and also good morning, good afternoon, Colleen.
Oh, well, thank you so much. We're glad to be here today.
Yeah, and we have an exciting program today. And as we start, we're going to be talking about Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom. That's the name of the program. And you know, most people that I speak to, I've been practicing law for about 30 years. I'm a pastor at Trinity Christian Church of Suffolk as well. But most folks that we talk to about getting their houses right financially don't realize that bankruptcy actually has tremendous biblical roots. Did you know when we started this program, you know, a month or two ago, Colleen, did you realize that?
I mean, I knew some of the principles of that, but not all of the history, all of the, you know, the way that things were working back in the Old Testament times.
Sure. And you mentioned the Old Testament, and that's one of the principal basis of bankruptcy. You know, I have a verse here from Deuteronomy, it's chapter 15. It says, at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release. And this is the manner of every release. Every creditor shall release what he has lent to his neighbor. You know, and that's really the foundation of what bankruptcy is all about. It's a way to, you know, God never intended us to be debtors or creditors. He established a system that at the end of every 7 years that any debts that a person had obligated themselves to were released. In the same way, he didn't want us to be creditors. The creditors had to understand that basically that they were not going to be the master of this slave forever. There was going to be every 7 years a release. You know, back in the day, that people could actually hire themselves or actually become bond servants to their master in order to pay it to get some money and they indebted themselves that way.
But then only for a certain time. So there is a time frame, a time
right.
limit.
Exactly. But you know that the principle of bondage still exists. When you owe money, there's this bondage that you're indebted to this creditor, and that this is almost like a form of slavery. You know, that you've agreed to this debt, but you know, in this very same way, it shouldn't be forever. It shouldn't be. You know, I have folks come in the office all the time, and they've been paying. I'm filing bankruptcy for a gentleman, probably in the next day or two, and that he's got this loan, this car loan. I mean, bless his heart. It's it's a 17-year-old vehicle. It's an $8,000 debt. He pays just enough to pay the interest and the expenses on it, and it's just been this ongoing debt for such a long time. And so, you know, there's a way in bankruptcy that you can actually, what we do is cram that number down to a reasonable number, pay it off within a shorter period of time, and give this person some relief.
Get rid of it, actually.
That's right.
Get rid of it.
And so why don't you tell people where they can call so that they can ask some questions? We're going to be talking about a very specific subject today, but I'll introduce that subject after you tell people where they can call.
Sure. This is a call-in show. So the number to call is 488-5299, 488-5299. We are live here on Tuesday from 12:30 to 1, so you can call in and get your call in for Steve and ask questions. You can make comments, maybe a testimonial, how God has worked through your finances, bankruptcy, those kind of things as well. So 488-5299. And to find out more about Steve and the Alliance Legal Group, you can go to debtfreeva.com. That's debtfreeva.com.
Absolutely. And you can have a free consultation that we'll talk to you about your finances. We do that because we want you to be aware of your options, that not every person that calls ends up it being the right option. But for a great majority of people that have financial debt, there is a biblical solution, and that's called bankruptcy.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. Now get on to your topic of what you were going to discuss today.
Well, today, Hampton Roads, we're going to be talking about homestead exemptions. And in the same way that In the Old Testament, when you had indebted yourself, when you become a bond servant to your master, you had borrowed some money to maybe you needed food, you know, you needed shelter, and you indebted yourself that way, that there was a requirement that at the end of 7 years that you'd be released. But there was an additional requirement that the slave or the indentured servant, the person that had indebted themselves, not go away empty-handed. You know, that there was requirement that the person that had effectively been their master would give them something so that they could go out and live a life and not be destitute.
Make a fresh start.
Get a fresh start, exactly. And so in bankruptcy, it's very, very similar today, that there's this concept called exemptions. Primarily in Virginia, it's called the homestead exemption. Now, if you're somebody listening on the air today and you filed bankruptcy before, I'm sure it was a Chapter 7, because it's not related to Chapter 13, but in Chapter 7, you filed a bankruptcy. Your attorney told you, well, listen, you get a $5,000 exemption, and it's a lifetime exemption. It's all you can ever use in your entire life. And again, that if you filed bankruptcy, I'm sure that conversation happened. That principle of exemption still exists today, but in July of this year, they changed the law. You know, there's not a lot of stuff that this particular legislature does that I'm particularly thrilled about, but this was one of them.
There you go.
Yeah.
It worked in the favor.
I said that this is not going to be one of those. So anyhow, we won't talk about Governor Northam today, but that one thing that I think got right as far as helping folks is the homestead exemption. They increased it from a $5,000, what they call wild card, to use for anything that you ever wanted to use it for, and being a lifetime $5,000, which is not a lot of money over a period of a lifetime to be able to protect that much and walk away. Let's say you file two bankruptcies, you use the full $5,000 the first time, you don't have nothing to use the second time.
It's done.
So the new rule is that, again, it's every 8 years you can file a Chapter 7, receive a discharge, and refile, that you get a new $5,000, you know, you're loaded back up so you can have $5,000 more worth of stuff. And, you know, some people think, well, you know, it's controversial, you know, even among Christians, that, you know, some people think that bankruptcy is just a cop-out, a way for people to outrun their, you know, their bad spending habits. But, you know, more often than not, it's a way that providing forgiveness, a chance for a second start, for a clean slate. And just like the principle in the Old Testament that the government, in this particular case, and I don't really know if it's the government, but I think the principles behind the bankruptcy, which have been employed by the government, say, listen, you should end up with something. You shouldn't take everything away from this person when they file bankruptcy. They should be able to keep something.
Right, because how would they be able to start over?
That's right.
Anything.
Just, you know, it'd be terrible. And so it used to be $5,000, one time in a lifetime. Now it's every 8 years you get a whole fresh start. And the new big change was that you could have $25,000 towards your principal residence. And so what that means is that lots of times people in the past, over the last 30 years as I've been filing bankruptcies, couldn't file a Chapter 7 because they had equity in their house. You know, they didn't want to lose their house, because if you have too much equity and we couldn't exempt it, then you had to file a Chapter 13. And some people didn't have the extra money to file a Chapter 13. So the new rule allows debtors that have up to $25,000 equity in their individual share. If, you know, a husband and wife might have $50,000 of equity, but that had that increased, they for the first time gave us a $25,000 exemption for equity, and it could be a mobile home. It could be any, your principal residence, whatever that is, whatever your equity, which is the amount of value that exceeds liens on that property, that we could protect and therefore allow a debtor to be able to file Chapter 7 bankruptcy and then still walk away with something. They wouldn't be left destitute, emphasizing the principle that was shown us in the Old Testament, in the book, and not just the book of Deuteronomy, but in the entire Old Testament as it related to forgiveness of debts.
Definitely important there. We are talking about the homestead exemption right here on Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom with Steve Taylor. You can call us at 488-5299. It's 488-5299 as you're listening to The Lighthouse on 96.9, 100.1 FM and 1010 AM. And again, it's a call-in show. We would love your questions. Sometimes this is a little in the weeds for some people as far as, you know, understanding every detail, but you don't have to understand it. You have an expert who can help you walk through the situation. Steve is here and he can take your call, whether you have a question, a comment, a concern. You know, call us at 488-5299.
And, you know, you hit it. I was thinking, you know, if I'm sitting in my house or driving down the car, you know, I'm saying, you know, boring, you know, what this guy talking about bankruptcy. But you know that if you're going through a financial crisis, this is not boring. This is something that gives you relief and gives you an opportunity to start over. And again, that, you know, not only start over, but have an opportunity for a whole brand new, a clean slate, a new fresh start. So we have a question?
Yes, we have Aaron on the line. He says he has a couple of questions for you.
Oh, okay, Aaron. Okay, Aaron, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
Doing all right. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Tell us what your question is.
Okay, so I'm listening, and I wanted to make sure that I understood what you just said about the shares of the house. So basically, is it if it's a husband and wife in a situation and they both have their names on the home, then you can exempt up to $50,000, 25 for each? Or does a bankruptcy actually function where it's only one person filing the bankruptcy or two?
You know, Aaron, you know, what's going to happen is that we're going to at some point have a co-host seat because we're going to get you over here because you ask the greatest questions. So let me tell you a little bit about, just kind of break that down a little bit, what Aaron's question was about. So in chapter 7, we're not talking about chapter 13 right now. We're talking about chapter 7. You know, a lot of people, that's the, you know, there's all kinds of different names for it, but that's what most people think of when they get a complete discharge of all their dischargeable debts, all the unsecured debts. Well, in a chapter 7, they take a look at how much equity you have overall. Now, typically, again, that they had the $5,000, and it's higher for some folks. Disabled veterans, 40% or more, they get a $10,000 exemption. If you're over 65, $10,000 exemption. There's other exemptions as well. If you're a business owner, you have some exemptions. You have some exemptions for, you know, furniture. You have all kinds of different exemptions, Bibles, guns, you know, different sort of exemptions. But the big one is the one they just came up with, and that's this $25,000 exemption. Now, husband and wife is kind of an interesting deal as well, Aaron, that if you own some real estate, let's say you have a property that's worth, let's say, $100,000, and let's say $200,000. Say it's $200,000, and that's the fair market value. We can talk about that later, but let's just say it's worth $200,000. And that let's say that that the property is held by husband and wife in the special in this special sort of way the deed's written, called tenants by the entirety with rights to survivorship at common law. People just say tenants by entirety generally, but there's three ways these folks can own this property. They can own it either by joint tenancy, tenants in common, or tenants with the right of survivorship. And when they hold it in this special way that husband and wives can only hold it by tenants by entirety, that's a special estate that protects all the equity in the property. So you can have a house that's worth, what do we say, $200,000, and have $200,000 worth of equity in it, and the husband filed a loan. Let's say he has $50,000 worth of credit cards. None of the equity in that property would be subject to the trustee taking it and selling it, as long as they had no joint debts. You need to see your attorney. But the bottom line is, if they have this special tenants by the entirety exemption, then it protects it all. But let's say they didn't have this, listen, if you own it a property and you're married, that see your attorney, you probably should get it in tenants by an entirety, because it's a very special, very good way to hold the property. But if you didn't, let's say that you know, you went to some other guy and he didn't do a real good job on your deed, or just somehow you ended up with the property and it's just joint tenants or tenants in common, which just means that you both own the property, you know, an equal 50% share. Well, in that particular case, let's say the house is worth $200,000, and let's say that you have $100,000 mortgage against the property. In that particular case, that each person could use, and they filed either singly or joint, let's say they filed jointly, that they could both take a $25,000 exemption and protect $50,000 of equity out of that house. Now, that may or may not be enough to protect the whole house. It really depends upon some other factors. There's cost of sale and different sort of things that we'd figure out. But that the bottom line, in fact, we can make it easy and just say, forget about the cost of sale. Just say it's $150,000 of mortgage and you have a $200,000 property, that you'd have $50,000 worth of exemption to protect that property. And again, the bottom line is that your attorney can advise you there's certain other things that the trustee won't look at because there are cost of sale and things of that nature. You don't need quite that much equity protection in most cases. Now, did that answer your question or do we need to go deeper into that?
That answered it, but I have another one as you were talking. You said, assuming that they filed jointly, are you talking about filing taxes jointly, married filing jointly?
No, I'm talking about filing bankruptcy jointly. So
okay, filing bankruptcy jointly. Okay.
So what happens is that when you file bankruptcy, even a joint bankruptcy like husband and wife, each person has their own case, but they can file it jointly to save cost. There's only one filing fee for whether it's a joint married couple sort of filing or a single filing. So often the attorney will take a look at the parties and say, listen, you know, you both got a lot of debts. Now the time to go ahead and get rid of them all. And so there'll be a joint filing. But other times the attorney will take a look at the two people and say, listen, you know, you got a lot of equity in this property. And that if you file jointly, it could be a problem because, you know, that we won't be able to use your tenants by the entirety exemption. So, you know, that why don't we just go ahead and file on husband your $50,000 of credit cards. You have no joint debts and you got this great tenancy by entire exemption and we can get rid of your debts, give you a brand new start, keep all the equity in your house, and then we'll worry about your wife later. You know, because she doesn't have as many debts or whatever, you know. And so it really tests, I mean, it's very interesting as far as how we can structure an individual case for a husband and wife or for a single person. But the focus is for today is that, you know, the Bible doesn't want us to go, wants us to go forward, and that so does the bankruptcy court. So does the law, the way it's written as far as the bankruptcy code, that there's an honest and good attempt to set the person right, get them back on their feet, and get them set up so that they can live a productive life. And so that's really what the focus should be and is as far as the bankruptcy code.
Okay. And as for the second question, because again, this is the third, because you had a second one come up when you were talking.
Uh-huh.
I was curious, as you said, did I hear you right at the beginning, you're a pastor at a church?
I am. Trinity Christian Church of Suffolk.
Okay. And I'm fairly new in my walk, so I'm 3-4 years in. So I'm just curious, like it ran through my mind when you were saying it. At what point does the Old Testament give way to the New Testament as far as what you're, I say, supposed to follow, or if you're reading, like, I know the, you know, when Jesus died and all that stuff, it became that new covenant. I'm just wondering what part of the old covenant still applies, or is it somehow changed or transformed by the death of Jesus and resurrection?
Well, I guess from a spiritual nature, I guess the first thing we have to both agree on is that God, Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, from that grace principle, we have, she gave me 10 minutes? Okay, good. We still have 10 minutes. So that you know, one of the things that I've, you know, that's really helpful in this whole discussion is recognizing that because God doesn't change, his standard doesn't change either. And that standard is, as far as a general principle, that you're saved by grace through faith. That's how we're saved today under the new covenant, and that's how you were saved back in the day under the old covenant. And people say, well, how in the world can that possibly be? Because, you know, that the you had the Old Testament, you didn't have Jesus. Well, the same way that it says, you know, there's only one name under heaven under which men must be saved, and that's Jesus. And so people say, well, Jesus wasn't here, you know, before he came. You know, how did people get saved then? Well, it's the same way. I had a great Bible, back in Bible college, he said, well, you look at the cross, you take a look at the cross, and that's the way you get saved. For people that get saved after Calvary, they look back on the cross and say, Jesus was my Savior. He is my Savior. His blood atoned for my sins. That's how we get saved. Mm-hmm. But the people in the Old Testament got saved the same way. It was by grace through, by faith through grace. And that the, by grace through faith. And that the, they looked at the cross that had not yet happened. They were trusting in a Savior that was going to crush the head of the serpent. The seed was going to crush the head of the serpent. And all these things they did in faith, you know, all the sacrifices and things of that nature were done looking towards a Savior that was going to come. So, you know, so as it relates to bankruptcy very quickly, that the... It's a same sort of principle that's applied through the Old Testament to the Old Testament, and so it's the same principle that the Old Testament through the New Testament gives to us. One was a standard that was imposed by the law, you know, the Ten Commandments, and the new standard more perfectly through grace through Jesus Christ. Now, Aaron, I'm going to have to let you go. I got another caller, but as always, I don't know if that was a good answer. It's hard to do that answer in just a couple of minutes, but it sounds like you're definitely on the right track, and it's always great hearing from you again.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. And again, anybody that's out there that wants to get free consultation, information about bankruptcy, make sure you go to debtfreeva.com. We'd be glad to talk to you and be able to help you. We have Don on the phone.
Go ahead, Don.
Don?
Yes. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, good. We got to be transparent. This is not just an average caller. This is my we're co-pastors at Trinity Christian Church of Suffolk. So, Don, tell me what's going on. Tell us do you have any questions about anything, whether it be bankruptcy or anything else?
I actually had to go through a bankruptcy over 10 years ago, and although it was a somewhat painful experience, in the long run, it turned out to be the right decision. And anybody who's contemplating having a bankruptcy done for them ought to realize that it's oftentimes just a good decision, and it can give you the relief you need from that crushing weight of debt that there's really no way you can pay off. So I know the provisions for that in the Old Testament. The Bible talks about that. Steve is an expert in bankruptcy law, and he's got an excellent staff of paralegals and attorneys who can help you. And the other thing I would say is that what makes the law firm different than just about any other one is that it's a Christian law firm. Not just in name only, but in actual practice. And you will find somebody who will be a sympathetic listener, somebody who will take your particular case seriously and personally. And then the other thing, of course, is that I am the chaplain of Alliance Legal Group, I am the chaplain of Alliance Legal Group and Christian Rights Ministries. And Christian Rights Ministries is the... a sister organization to Alliance Legal Group, and Christian Rights Ministries exists to help in the defense and preservation of our inalienable rights. And so it's a Christian rights organization that works hand-in-hand with Alliance Legal Group and oftentimes offers free or pro bono legal services for anybody who's religious freedom and convictions are being challenged by the government or other circumstance. So I'm the chaplain of both organizations, Christian Rights Ministries and the Alliance Legal Group. And I'm just like to say that because of that, clients come into our office and they want us to pray for them. We do that. And we follow up with them in many cases. We keep them on our prayer list. And a lot of prayers have been answered over the years. As a result of that, that's not something you're going to get in just about any other law firm in the area, much less the state.
You know, and folks, let me just, and this is kind of bragging on Don. He won't ever brag on himself, but you know, he's like my mentor. He's a doctor of theology, I believe. That's correct, right? It's, your PhD's in theology, is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just, he's a wonderful teacher. He's a wonderful mentor. We co-pastor the church, and we'd love to have you call. That you can either speak to myself or Don. He's actually, you know, he's way more empathetic than me, Colleen. I mean, he's great. He's awesome. When I need a shoulder to cry on, that's where I go.
Well, and people, and when they come to see you, especially if they're in a bankruptcy situation, they need someone to talk to and pray with.
Absolutely.
So I love that you all do that. Thank you, Don, so much for that testimony
absolutely.
And for sharing that for us.
Yeah, I appreciate
it's
you
a
calling,
pleasure.
Don.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and we'll talk to you all again later.
All right. Thank you, Don. How much time do we have, Colleen?
We have about 3 minutes left.
3 minutes. So if there's anybody that wants to get a quick phone call in, please do. It's 488-5299. But we are a Christian law practice that our mission vision statement is to operate a Christ-centered law practice, emphasizing and relying on biblical principles in order to effectively and efficiently serve the legal and spiritual needs of our clients, community, and employees, and to support us perfect well. That's a mouthful, but that's really what we try to do. We're very imperfect, but that we will certainly try to honor that vision that we have for our clients and what we do at the law office.
No, that's a great testimony from Don there. So thank you for that. And again, find out more about the Alliance Legal Group and the Christian Rights Ministries as well by going to debtfreeva.com. Debtfreeva.com is how you reach Steve. We are a phone call-in show, so you can call 488-5299. We only have a couple of minutes left, so if you don't get in today, you can call us next Tuesday at 12:30 as well.
You know, and it's worth always saying that the Lighthouse is just an awesome radio station. It really is. And you can hear us on AM 1010, 100.1 FM, 96.9 FM. And the way I'm finding most people like to listen is on the internet at mylighthouseradio.com. And it's Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom. And we got 2 minutes, got the 2 minute warning, you know. And so that, right now, Colleen, I'd like to think about, and those people that are listening at home, that we're going to be praying for you right now, that there might be somebody out there that just feels overwhelmed with debt. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel ashamed. God's in control, especially if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as long as Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible, and last time I looked it was, that all things, even the debt, even the circumstances that you're under, work together for good for those that love God, for those that are called according to his purpose. You know, and this is an affirmation that I say to myself a lot. We got 1 minute, and so I'm just going to share it with you. When somebody comes up to you, two things. When somebody comes up to you and asks you how you are, you know what I tell them, even when things are going bad, you know, on the surface? What I tell them is, I said, God's taking good care of me, because he is. Even if we don't feel like it, sometimes he is. And the second thing, just because you always got to preach to yourself, I tell myself, because sometimes I go through hard times, and so that I say that everything's always works out good for Steve. That's what I tell myself. You know, even when things are going bad, I say everything always works good together, works out good for Steve. And so, listener, you do the same thing, especially if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you haven't, give us a call. You can call us at debt free. You can just say you want to talk to Steve at debtfreeva.com. I'll talk to you. I'll pass you on to you can talk to Don. He's, like I said, he's an awesome counselor.
You got a bunch of people can talk to.
So let's pray and close. Father, we love you. Pray for that person out there that's overwhelmed with debt. Pray for that person that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Pray for that person as well, that God, that is saved, but is just doesn't know where to turn next. And so we just pray that they would have wisdom, that you would help them, and that they would trust in your son, Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom. Tune in every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. for more Christ-centered solutions to financial problems. If you would like more information about the Alliance Legal Group or Christian Rights Ministries, please visit debtfreeva.com or call 757-923-4357. That's 757-923-4357.
Here's an important COVID